I thank the Lord for that. Thank God for the opportunity. Proverbs chapter 23 tonight. If you find your place, I'm going to read just one verse and try to stay in this verse this evening. Proverbs chapter 23, if you found your place, you can and we'd like to stand. I'll read just one verse, verse number 26 tonight. Proverbs 23 and verse 26, we've been trying this week to, and I like the opportunity to preach as we've done this week, trying to just preach to God's people. Amen. Trying to encourage God's people. And I tell people all the time, it's a blessing to get to do the different things God's allowed for me to do. And I've had some pastors back in years gone by say, preacher, said, I don't know missionaries doing revival meetings. I said, don't tell the pastors. Amen. Well, they keep calling me. I get the opportunity to do what I'm doing tonight. Look in verse 26, if you will. The Bible says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Father, we love you this evening. Thank you, Lord, for this precious time we've had together these days. Lord, I'm so grateful for a good crowd of folks here even this evening. Lord, I pray you'd help us as we look in the Word of God. Lord, I pray you'd bless the reading, the hearing, and receiving of the Word of God today. Lord, I stand again where man cannot stand alone. We need your help this evening. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. May you bless the reading, the hearing of the Word of God tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Appreciate you standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Book of Proverbs is a good book. I enjoy it. I guess you folks do a lot of instruction. I've heard pastors say, and I agree with them, it's kind of hard, preacher, to preach through the book of Proverbs because it changes gears so many times. It's not there's many different themes and many different topics, even in this chapter that are dealt with. And so I want to focus in just on one verse. Of course, we know this verse is special to me anyway, and I thought as singing that last song, I have decided to follow Jesus. And I told the wife, I said, it's amazing how God put stuff together. And I didn't know what he was going to sing. He didn't have a clue what I was going to preach, but God knew what was going to happen. He just fit it together. I believe for this last service that we're going to get to be with you at least at this round. But I want to give you three simple thoughts out of this verse, but I want to deal tonight with the heart. We've been trying to deal these last days with you and I, with us. Amen. About our sin and about ourselves. Amen. Last night about the Spirit of God working in us and trying to help us. But the word heart is mentioned about 946 or 7 times, if I counted correctly. Amen. If I didn't, y'all forgive me. But when you travel through the Word of God, you find a lot of times that word's mentioned. And sometimes it's mentioned, it's talking about that 2-pound vessel roughly that stays within our chest. That's the strongest muscle of your body. It never gets a rest. If it quits, you're done. Amen. We're glad it don't quit until God's ready for it to stop. But that's not what he's talking about here. Many times when we see the word heart in the Word of God, it's talking about the regulator, the controller, the center and regulator of the head, the hands, and the feet. If God gets somebody's heart, he don't have no trouble getting anything else in that fashion. Because when I gave him my heart, as our brother was talking, even when he was talking about folks being here, I've never had nobody have to come and hunt me and wonder why I wasn't at church for a while. And I'm not throwing off on nobody, but I'm just saying God put it in my heart to be with God's people. I've had folks say, well, Brother Joe, you must need more church than I do. Because we're always in church, it seems like, and I try to be nice, and I don't try to be crude and rude to them, but I have told Mama when we left, I said, I've watched their life. They might need more church than they realize. Amen. It might would do them good to be in there a little bit more, too, sometimes, because it helps us. Being around the fellowship we were talking about, you guys were having last night, that helps us. I want to be around people that have the same heart, the same desire, the same mind that I have. It helps me to continue when I see others wanting to do the same thing I'm doing. Amen. That old adage, birds of a feather flock together. You show me who you hang out with, I'll show you who you're going to become. We've saw that in prison ministry for 24 years now. These guys will tell me over and over, preacher, if I'd have stayed away from that crowd, I wouldn't be back in here again. But in this chapter tonight, the word heart's mentioned 9 times. Now, I want to look at 3 of them briefly. You know, we're in a day and we're in an era and we're hearing this with the transgender and all this other stuff that's going on that just follow your heart. Just do what your heart wants. Well, that's not biblical, by the way, to start with. It's not scriptural to begin with. The Bible says, look here in verse number 19 in our chapter tonight. The Bible says, hear thou my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Boy, isn't it a blessing that we would have a guided heart. We can't just let it do its own thing. People all the time, and we were talking even before service, me and Mama done a lot of planting today, got part of our garden in, and we planted tomato plants in the ground. It's already blooming, amen. Dad got an early start. We built a greenhouse last year, and I planted tomatoes about 8 inches deep, and I still about need to tie them up, amen. He had them staked up into 1 gallon pots because he wanted to try to get a head start, amen. And they talk about that garden. Boy, how it always looks beautiful. But you know, there was a time several years ago, my wife and I was 5 weeks out west traveling, preaching, and nobody took care of the garden. And when we came back, there was some fruit in there, but it was a mess. Amen, because nobody had weeded and worked it. And that's kind of the way it is. When you follow your heart and you don't weed out some things and you don't work on some things, you'll have a mess. There might be a little fruit in there, but there'll be a mess as well. Amen. So we need a guided heart. And then in our text verse tonight, the Bible says, my son, give me thine heart. We need a given heart. And I'll deal with that one in just a few moments. But then down, if you will, look in let's look at verse 31 and following. He said, look not thou upon wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Notice verse 33. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yeah, we've seen that over and over again. That's one of the main reasons you'd do well to leave alcohol alone, because it affects your heart. And not just that muscle, but it affects the real you. You'll say things you would never say. I've heard people say, well, I didn't mean all of that. Well, what'd you say it for? Because I had gotten by the bottle. Can I say to you, not only do we need a given heart, we need a guided heart, but we need, in verse number 32, a guarded heart. We need to guard our hearts, amen? We need to guard what comes around us. We need to guard what we put in our body, because it's a known fact it affects our heart. But going back to our text tonight, I want to just real simply this evening give you three little thoughts right here in this chapter, right here in this verse. I could title a thought to simply not to be a father's request. I found out over the years, I thought, boy, when I first started at 20 years old, I was like most 20-year-olds, man, I was going to shake the world. I was going to change the world. When I found out, I had a hard time even changing me sometimes. But if I can give you what God's given me and you'll apply what God's given you, he'll change the world. And that's how it works. We went into Grenada. I went in there out of Tabernacle Bible Institute. I didn't go out of one of the big schools, though. I wouldn't trade my teaching. I wouldn't trade my instruction for any Bible college I know today. I thank God for what God gave me those years, sitting under one of the greatest men of my lifetime, Dr. Harold Seitler. What I learned just watching him minister to people. What I learned just watching him deal with the children and deal with the older folks and didn't deal with us 20-year-olds that didn't have no sense, and us preacher boys that had a lot of zeal, not a whole lot of knowledge, and yet Dr. Seitler would handle us and deal with us in just a gracious way. He didn't make us do things. He'd tell us, matter of fact, one time we didn't go to somebody that had laid out a class, and he said, boys, you need to be in here and get your teaching and get your training. He said, that'd be like going to what was that we went to, Brother Bob, the Super Chicks and paper and ice cream, and then leave it on the table. He said, your mom, dad, or somebody's paying, you're paying for the schooling, and when you don't come, it's like you're just leaving ice cream sitting on the table. You're leaving stuff that can help you sitting on the table. And I thought that was pretty good for me. That helped. Of course, now I was going to be in school anyway, because that's what I went there for, and that's all I knew. Go to work, work 10 hours, go to school 4 hours, and go home, get a couple hours sleep, and do it all over again. While wife took care of the kids and the family. We need a guarded heart. Hey, man, a lot of men get in trouble because we don't guard our hearts. A lot of ladies get in trouble, I'm afraid, because we don't guard our heart. Hey, man, if I feel uncomfortable in a situation, I call Mama. Hey, man, and if she's with me, I don't have to worry about it. Hey, man, she's going to take care of it. God has given her a sense that I don't have. And there's times she's pointed out stuff that, man, I'm preaching, I'm traveling, I'm ministering, I'm doing everything. And she said, just be careful here. And I've learned in 43 years of marriage to listen, because God's given us a teamwork. And God's put her there to help me guard myself. And if I see somebody bothering her, you know, I'm going to take care of that. She's not seen me angry but twice. The last time was in Grenada over a situation that we've gotten into. And we'll just leave that there. Amen. We need a guarded heart. Well, let's look at our verse this evening. Break it up. We'll break it up in three simple thoughts here. He said, my son. We say Solomon's the writer. He's writing to his son. Can we apply tonight the Lord Jesus talking to you and I, God the Father talking to you and I? My son speaks of a relationship. And I would assume that everybody here is saved tonight, but I would ask you that question. Do you have that relationship? My baby brother come down today. He's needing some money, usually. He come help me a little bit, and he's adopted. And they sometimes, he didn't want to. Hendrix, he said, you know, I ain't got no family. Then he gets in trouble and he'll call. And I said, look, you can make decision you want. We made that decision a long time ago. You're part of the family, whether you like it or not. You've been adopted by the state of North Carolina, and I'm assuming the state of the United States. He can't be unadopted. He can't be disinherited. I thought that's pretty neat when I got to reading about that adoption I got when I got saved by the grace of God. God adopted me. I have a relationship, you see. And in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9, says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. There's that relationship. 1973, five rows back, the left-hand side of Providence Road Baptist Church, on a Sunday morning, Easter, in spring of the year, God got a hold of my heart. And he and I entered into a relationship, you see. I've had guys tell me, Brother Joe, you going to heaven because of all of this and all. No. I'm going to heaven because of that relationship. Amen. And I ask you today, before we can do anything, we've got to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When I entered into that relationship, it gave me access to stuff I didn't have no reason to have access to before. When I was in school, I'm the only one out of seven that graduated high school in my family. I'm the only one that's went to college and got a 4-year degree. I have two of my sisters, I think, did go later and get their GED, and they've got an associate or something. But just graduating high school was a big deal for my family. I was the only one out of seven that did so. But I wasn't real keen on school. If I didn't want to stay, I'd just leave. I'm being honest, all right? Y'all forgive me, but I carried excuses in my pocket in case I got there and didn't want to stay. And I'm not sure. We got too many kids in here today. I'll get us in trouble. But, of course, I'd always tell Dad where I went. I hid nothing from him. He'd find out anyway back where I lived. I don't know. We didn't have telephones, didn't have cell phones, didn't have internet, but he had something. He always knew anyway, so I figured better. I'm going to tell him what I'm doing. That way I got out of trouble. Went to school one day, and a young man that Dad was a businessman and had money. He had a Camaro with flames down the side. Y'all know, y'all remember back when that was a big thing back in the 60s, 70s, early 80s. And man, he was my friend. He was one of my good friends. And he said, Joe, you want to cut school today and go to my house and play in the game room? I didn't know what a game room was. I mean, I didn't have one of them where I went from. I said, yeah, man, let's do that. And we decided we was going to get out. I looked, saw what notes I had, got out. We went almost to Charlotte. And we walked in that game room. Man, they had foosball and ping pong, and so they had a refrigerator full of snacks, full of drinks, soda pop, we called them, and nabs, that's cheese crackers. Hey, man, I keep getting in trouble. Somebody asked me, what does this word mean? It's cheese cracker, nabs on the countertop. He said, just help yourself. Man, we had a big time. And see, I went to work from the school bus, so I had to catch my ride. I had to be back to school in time to get back on the bus so I could get off at school and went in. And I thought, man, you know, I had a great time. But what if I'd have went there the next day, just walked up in that house? I had no right to be there. I had no right for anything that was there. The reason I got there that day, the reason I enjoyed that, everything that was in there, is because I went with the owner's son. I had a relationship with Eric. You know why I'm going to get to go into heaven? It's not because I deserve to be there, but I've got a relationship with the King of Glory. I've got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to kick open the doors of heaven, so to speak, one day, and we're going to get to do whatever he wants us to do. Because we have a relationship. But if you don't have that relationship, you sure could for the night over. If the Spirit of God's drawing you, friend, you can have a relationship tonight. I thank God for the day God called me. And God drew me to himself. And I entered that relationship. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 said, because you are sons, God hath not sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's a special term. special relationship, amen. Lord, I've got one, my grandson, all my kids call me Papa Joe, and somebody said, that don't bother you. I said, it'd bother me if they quit. But there's a little one that was down there yesterday evening. He's about six, I guess, now, but when he first started talking, just toddling around there, I was always Poppy. And when he comes in now, he'll tell his nanny, he said, where's my Poppy? He'll bypass her and head straight to me, wherever I'm at. And I think, man, that's just, they said, and my daughter said, him and Andy have got a relationship. I like that. Do you have that relationship with the Lord? Man, where you can just, when you can go to your prayer closet and say, Lord, it's like you just entered in, you're right there. You've got that place, you've got that. He said, my son, you see, we're children of God. We've been looking this week about what God wants for us to do, about how we're going to be better and how we're going to do more. My desire is to do more, not less. Is to be more for him, not less. Our brother's talking about that waiting is hard. And I told him, man, I don't know. They probably have to just shoot me. I don't know. And I may be there before the time, but I don't wait good. Amen. I won't be busy in doing something, but I want to do it for him. I've got a relationship. I've been saved. Then look at the next verse. Or the next portion, he said, give me thine heart. You know what amazes me? And again, I'm not giving you anything new. This is nothing new. But it was talking last the other night about outlines. And man, I've used somebody else's outlines. I'll use them in a minute. I'm not ashamed. Amen. If they'll work, I'll use them. Praise the Lord. But when I think about this second phrase, he makes a request. Can you imagine the God that created you? But he's got such a love for you and I that he's not going to take our heart. He's going to request that we give it to him, that we submit it to him, that we surrender it to him. When I was looking at this, it's been years ago now, but I thought, man, what a blessing that the good God of heaven that give me everything would say, would you give me your heart? He makes a request. He's not going to force you. He's not going to force me. That's why I say I can't change anybody this week, but if you give your heart to Jesus, he will. If you submit yourself completely over to him, he can make changes. Amen. I remember as a young boy, and I got saved at the age of nine, and I rebelled some, like, sad to say, for several months at least. I didn't get out of church, just kind of rebelled against my dad and began to grow my hair long, and not too long because I wanted to live in the house. But nonetheless, you know what I'm saying, just that 70 era, if you will, 80s era, and dad never said a thing. Mom come around one day, and she said, son, she said, do you not realize you're breaking your dad's heart? Now, I was used to whippings. I wish you'd have whipped me. I could have took that and went on down the road, went on to work. But, man, that thing eat me up. I got my two haircuts. That first one, I just still didn't get it quite right, so I had to go back and do it again. And dad never said a thing. Why would you do that? Because I love my dad. Me and him, Becky and my brother planting today. We're out there together. He'd soon be 81 years old. He's still pushing that push plow, planting that corn, planting them beans and whatnot. I love him. And I want to do for him. If you have that kind of love for the Lord, we just want to do what he asked. Amen. When dad asks something, and he don't ask for a lot, I told him, I said, dad, I'm busy. You're going to have to just tell me what we need to do sometimes. Because I don't catch it if he just tosses a hen out like he used to do. Something that needs to be done. But he makes a request. Will you give me your heart? If you're saved, God wants you to surrender. Whatever it is. Now, he may not send you to the mission field. He may not send you to preach. But he wants your heart. He wants you to be faithful, whatever it is he's given you to do. Amen. You know, there's a difference between commitment and surrender, right? Commitment, we control. We make that commitment, but we can change it. But when we surrender, I preach in the prison. I've got a message I preach out of the Psalms. Don't come in with your hands up. That goes over real well in most prisons I preached in. And I said, I know some of y'all have heard somebody holler one time, come out with your hands up. But the word of God there in Psalm 134 said, lift up your hands in sanctuary and bless the Lord. I said, God wants you to come in and praise him, amen. And we have a good time, amen. But I said, do you know why there's a reason for that? They're surrendering. I said, when you surrendered, what happened? They said, well, the police took over. I don't dictate where I'm going. They put me in the back of the car and took me wherever it was I was going. I don't worry about what's for breakfast. They don't ask me what I want on the menu. I eat whatever. I have surrendered for a space of time. And I'm using that as an illustration. If we'll surrender to God and let him control, you see. Let him take control of what we do and what we need. Them boys don't worry about what they're wearing in North Carolina. Here it's all browns, but in North Carolina it's going to be browns or greens. Greens mean you're getting close to going home. Green clothes is minimum custom. Minimum 1, 2, and 3 is green clothes. medium and max and high cons, all brown clothes. And the more, the higher you get in that, by the way, is the more restrictive you are. And they don't ask you what you want to do. They tell you what you're going to do. But if we surrender to the Lord and we willingly give our lives over to Him, then we let Him tell us what to do. I wasn't ever going to fly. I wasn't ever going to get up in the sky. I wasn't ever going to leave my country. But there come a day when I surrender to the Lord. My, what a difference He's made. What a blessing it is to serve God like I get to today. Amen. Think about an illustration that I've used many times, and you may have heard it before. Please forgive me. Thought about a story I read one time about a young evangelist, and I know a bunch of young men are evangelists, and man, some of them are trying to have children. Some have kids. I think about one I just read. He's West Virginia. He got to spend a day home. He said in 52 days, his first day home, talking about what he did with his three boys and what he did with his daughter. But man, when these guys and my baby girl still that way, when we go off and come back, Daddy, what you bring me this time? She likes flip-flops, key rings. She's got flip-flop key rings everywhere we can find them. She's 30 years old. She's still my baby. But this preacher, as he would travel, his wife, of course, would stay home with the daughter. And he said when they would come back, the little girl would say, Daddy, what'd you bring me this time? He's always bringing some kind of little something, giving her some kind of something. He said one day he'd come in. She liked jewelry like most ladies, amen, and said he had found some little plastic pearls. Said he come in one day and he handed those pearls and said, boy, she was so excited. He put them on her neck. She danced around the living room floor, said, Daddy got me some pearls. Went and showed her mama. Went and said that over the next couple of weeks, said she would go to her teacher. She went to her Sunday school class. She wouldn't take them off. She bathed in them. Kept them on. When she took a bath, she just wouldn't get rid of them. And he said they had a habit that when he was home, he would always go in and pray with her before bedtime. He said one night, several weeks after this happened, he went to her and they began to pray. And he looked at his daughter, about 7 years old, said, honey, you love me? He said, Daddy, you know I love you. He said, can I have your pearls? She said, Daddy, I'll give you my Barbie doll. I'll give you my Barbie car. I'll give you that. Went all around the room. Everything was in there. Offered all to him. He said, okay. And they prayed. And this went on for several weeks. And she said, Daddy, said, you gave me those pearls. Said, those are my most prized possession. She offered him everything. And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes this week, maybe that's what, Lord, I'll give you this. Lord, I'll do this for you. Lord, I'll do that. But what does he really want? He said, finally, one day he came in and he went to kneel down by the bed and she was crying. He said, she looked up and said she had them little pearls in her hand. She had taken them off. And she said, Daddy, I love you more than my pearls. He said, if you want my pearls, Daddy, you can have my pearls. And said, when his daddy took those pearls with this hand, he reached in this pocket and had a set of cultured, polished, expensive pearls he'd been carrying all of that time. But he wasn't going to give her the treasure until she gave up the trinkets. So many times we hold on to trinkets in our life, don't we? God has never asked me to give up anything when he didn't give me far more or something far better. And said from day one, he had those cultured pearls in his pocket, just waiting on his precious little girl. He loved her so much and knew that that was such a treasure to her. He wanted to have the real thing, but it took her an extra month to get it because she wasn't ready to give up. The plastic. In the Philippines, you can buy not polished pearls. My wife's got several sets. You can buy them for $10. Polished ones are more expensive. We always buy the ones that aren't been polished. She's got three or four different sets. But I thought about that little girl being just like me and you. And this week, God's dealing with us. God showed you something. And you've maybe given some things to God. Maybe you've offered the Barbie doll, the Barbie car, and the Barbie house. But God said, will you give me this? This is what I want. He's making a request. He's not going to take it. Just like that dad. He didn't take those jewels, that little jewelry, that little plastic beads. But he had something far better in his pocket the whole time. He was just waiting to give to her. If she would just give up those plastic beads, those little things that were there. I'm asked tonight, do you have a relationship? Are you saved? Have you heeded his request and surrendered? Some of the greatest times in my life, church, were times when I surrendered everything to God. When I quit saying, Lord, here's what I want to do. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, where are you going to send me? And I found out God had been preparing me for where he was going to send me for years. He's just waiting on me. He's just building the time. When I went down in Grenada, a lot of the Grenadian guys will tell you, said, Brother Joe, just fit down here. And I think they're right. I felt like we did. God prepared us in that growing up in what the world would say poor. Growing animals and growing garden and doing different things. Those things opened doors where God had for me to serve for almost 6 years. And we still go back and see God doing things there. I'm asking tonight, have you heeded a request of the Lord this week to give him your heart? June 24th, 1984, be 40 years this June since I surrendered to God's call on my life to preach, a 20-year-old boy. The wife and a daughter, and she was expecting what was to be our only son. She was expecting our second child. Went off to Greenville, South Carolina. Our son was born 5 weeks early. He was born December 15th in 1984. 2 months later, stopped breathing four times. His left lung collapsed. He spent another 11 days in the hospital. 9 pounds. Hooked to 7 or 8 different machines back in 1985. We didn't know if he was going to live or die. God said, I got this, son. We give it to him. Lord, we don't understand, but we know you don't make no mistakes. He's 40 now. God let him live. God let him grow up with us, and I thank God for that. 1987, December, on what we call the White Horse Side Road, the White Horse Road side of Tabernacle Baptist Church, my wife and I in the Christmas revival went down and said, God, if you use us in missions, we'll go. We surrendered. And God said, that's all I was waiting on, son. And we took off. Been a long journey. Been a good journey. I would not trade anything for those times when I've said, God, I'm still that way. I'll go wherever God wants me to go, do whatever he wants me to do. Then look at this last phrase tonight. We see the relationship and salvation. My son, boy, what a blessing. Give me thine heart's a request, and what a glorious day when I listen and I give God my heart. But then if that's happened, notice the last phrase, and we'll close with this. And let thine eyes observe my ways. You know, if we're saved and we've heeded the request of God and God has our heart, then we will be responsible for what God wants us to do. We'll accept that responsibility and serve the Lord wherever he takes us and however he wants us to go. We laugh at folks that knew me before, and some of you guys don't think I would ever be quiet, and some of them didn't think I would ever talk. I meet some folk that knew me in school, and they find out what God's got me doing, and they don't understand. And I'm like, really, I don't either, but I'm enjoying the journey that God's put me on in serving him. And I praise him for that. But that did not happen, brother and sister, until I said, Lord, I want to please you. Lord, I want to serve you. Lamentations 3:51 says, mine eyes affect my heart because of all the daughters of my city. You see, God's got a purpose and a plan for every one of us. We can't all be preachers. We can't all be missionaries. We can't all be deacons. We can't all be whatever, but we can't all be servants. We can't all be surrendered. Dr. Seitler would tell us preacher boys, and man, I got so frustrated sometimes, preacher, when some of them guys come to school knowing what they was going to do in 4 years. I'm just happy if I can make 4 years. Man, I got to finish this stuff, man. I had to really go to school. I didn't do much when I went to high school because I played football. I was on the football team, and I never got in trouble because they wouldn't catch me. They'd walk by me because I couldn't play football if I got suspended. After they kind of be a little lenient because the next year was coming around. But when I got in college, they didn't care. You're going to do the work or you're going to learn the stuff. You're going to learn the material. And what a blessing it was to learn from men of God, some good men that gave their life to teach me so I could go and teach others. That's a blessing. Everybody's not called to do that. But I'm grateful for Dr. Rice, Dr. Russell Rice, Dr. John Waters, Dr. Seitler, Jerry Clark was our dean, and man, these men poured into us. Dr. Dan Truax, missionary in Africa. Man, he'd come down the hall, cheer up, you saints of God, there's nothing to worry about. Big old bass-based voice, and man, you could hear him coming. He'd be back there about the kitchen. You could hear him coming down the hallway. He'd say, smile, fellas, it's going to be all right. Had glasses like Coca-Cola bottles. He had a sheet of paper, didn't have about 4 words on it, so he could see to teach. But man, he poured in us a love for missions. Out of 24 graduates, 12 went into missions. And that was kind of average back in that day because these men poured into us. And I thank God that they found and they saw that responsibility. Dr. Truax had to come out of Africa because of health issues. But how many people he sent back, I don't even know. Anytime you saw him, he would have an application. He was with BIMI. He'd have an application for BIMI. I come up to Greer Camp meeting my first year, and I'm thinking about, man, he's pouring into me, and he's accepting his responsibility. And I walked up, me and my wife and kids, two kids across the yard there, and coming up in there on that July hot day, and he looked at me and he said, "Brother Joe, can you get a hold of God?" I didn't know how to answer that. That's a loaded question already. And I'm like, "Well, I think I can, Doc." He said, "Well, praise God, we'll have our answer tonight, whether you're going to Africa or not." And that was him everywhere you saw him. He opens his briefcase and hands me an application for BIMI. Man, he accepted that responsibility everywhere you saw him. That was, I love that man to death. He's with the Lord now. But man, the impact that man had on, I didn't go with BIMI. I went to Macedonia. But the impact that man of God had on my life because he accepted the responsibility that God had given him. What a difference you can make here if you'll accept that responsibility. There's young folks that need somebody to look to. Matter of fact, that little one's not here might be kind of a good thing. I got a little piece of paper last night that's one of my treasures from a little young man sitting right here. Preachers tell me about him. He's got Joel. Eli. He said he told his dad he wanted to draw a picture for the preacher. Had a picture of me standing up here and got a little quotation there, the trees of the Lord, or trees of God. And he said, "Thank you, preacher, for coming to preach for us this week." And that blessed my heart. Well, that little fella, I want to be responsible because he's looking. Listen, you need to be responsible because that young boy's looking. He's hearing what we're saying. He's hearing and seeing what you guys are doing and what we're doing every week, week in, week out. "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." I know there's a lot goes on around here. There's a lot went on this week to have this meeting, and I'm grateful for those that helped. I mean, I every time I got here, we got here kind of early yesterday, but still wasn't here, wasn't the first ones here. There's folks already here. Things going on, things being done. Listen, if you want God to really make these few days matter for you, just give him your heart. Let him tell you what to do. No, I don't want to tell you what to do anyway. Let him tell you what to do. Let him tell you what he wants for you because it'll always be right. It'll always be what's needed. I ask you again tonight, has he got your heart? Man, I know when that first grandbaby come, we was talking about Jacob, I think, when man, I said, look, number 10 is just as good as number one. Matter of fact, the great grand is just as good as the first grand. Amen. We're waiting on one or two, maybe three more great grands this year. Amen. I like y'all bring them on. We'll spoil them and send them home. Hallelujah. Can't keep up with them no more. But I want to accept that responsibility to teach those children. They might never have a lot of stuff, but I hope they'll say, "My daddy loved the Lord. My poppy. My baby girl, we took her to a vacation Bible school when she was about 14, 15. A church that supported us and they'd invited her, so we took her over there, Becky did, and we was on the way to prison. They come by and got her. And she said, when I picked her up that night, preacher, she said, "Brother Joe," said, "Tabby has your sense of humor." We said, "Where's your daddy?" She said, "Oh, he's in prison again." About 14 years old. But I'd rather to know that daddy loves the Lord. I love my babies. I love them kids. Try to do all we can with them. But a woman know that I've surrendered my heart to God. And they come right along behind. Let me read you something as we close tonight. Something I pray to the Lord, not all my writing, some things I've added, and I rest when you wrote it down, I'll forget it. It says, "My Father, take my heart such as it is," because it's not always where it should be. It's not always how it ought to be. "But make it such as it should be. I'm giving it to him to work with. Take possession of it. Set up thy throne in it. And help me to become the son that you see in me." What a day that's going to be when we get home. But I want to hear him say, "Joe, you got done, son. Might not have done what everybody else wanted, but you done what I've asked you." And that's why I'm not trying to tell you what to do this week, except just challenge you to look to God and say, "God, what do you want from me? Will you serve him? Will you give him your heart? He's not going to take it. He's not going to overthrow you. That's a request. Do you have that relationship? If not, I would not leave this place tonight if God's stirring your heart without meeting somebody and letting them help you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you got that relationship, then the next step is the request. Because our heart gets all kind of places, don't it? He wants your heart. Knowing if he's got it, everything else will come. And then accept our responsibility. Amen. Lord, help me to see what you want me to do. Father, I love you tonight. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of preaching one more time here. Thank you for their man of God and his dear wife. Lord, how blessed they've been to me and my wife for so many years. Lord, I thank you for this church and what blessing they have been. Lord, I've tried my best to do what you've asked me this week. Lord, if there's one here that's lost, I pray, God, you'd draw them to yourself. There's, Lord, one of my brothers or sisters been struggling with some area of their life. May they give it all to you tonight. Let you control it for them. And accept the responsibility and serve you to the day they die. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.